Hola, everybody. This is Lucilania.
Hey, what's up? This is Steph coming at you live.
And this is Sex and Sensuality for the Churchy Podcast. Is all sex holy to you? That's what we're going to talk about today on this episode, is if all sex is holy, or can all sex be holy, or is sex only holy within the constructs of marriage? That's what we're going to dig into. And it's inspired by a beautiful human, Al Natural 38 on Instagram. And I was watching a podcast interview that she did, and she said, just loved it. She's like, every time I suck a dick, I feel like God favors me. Go, her, if you're on YouTube, her IG is at the bottom of the screen. Go follow her. She gives great content, great educational content. She's a mom of an autistic son. And she's just really, really dope human. But she said, every time I suck a dick, every time. Know that God favors me. And when she said, I was like, yes, bitch, yes. That's how I feel.
Somebody's being favored, all right.
Like, I know he feels blessed and highly favored that I'm sucking dick. But I feel blessed and highly favored of the Lord every time I suck dick. Now, there are people that might be listening to this like, she ain't really saved. She's not married. She can't, absolutely not. And I say to you, if you would like to stay and watch, listen, by all means, come in, take a seat, don't touch nothing. Mm-hmm. If you turned off already and be like, oh, she's a heathen, she's this, she's that, then I bid you farewell on your way out. Because this is what we're getting into today.
Yeah.
So, how did you feel when I said that to you on a good afternoon? Just like, yeah, let's talk about this.
I you know, for me, it's always the visuals, and the visual of her saying it and then other people around her. And, you know, you have the one person who's like real cool, who's like, yes. And then you have the other person who feels really uncomfortable, like, oh my gosh, like, did she really just say that? And, you know, like,
I think, how could she say that? What does she mean?
Yeah, exactly. You know, one of the things I can appreciate from people like her is the fact of being able to say what's on her mind and not apologize for it, right? You know, and knowing that what a lot of us are thinking, she was able to express. Because at the end of the day, those relationships and those sexual experiences that we have, we're gonna get into, they do have the opportunity to be a spiritual connection and a holy connection that you can have with somebody. Now, the parameters around that get a little tricky, but yeah, I can't lie, the visual of her just, yeah, that just didn't help either. It just did not help. But yeah, I think it's definitely, and you know, her being able to say that also lets you know that there are other women around her that sympathize and empathize with that feeling, right? So it's not like this is a vacuum statement, right? The reason why people are able to connect with it is because in their minds, they feel like, listen, when I'm at that peak, in that moment, the endorphins are high.
And what do most people say? When they about to orgasm, what do most people say? Normally, thank it's you. Something, oh God, God is
here. Oh God, yeah. God is here.
I was reading this thing and I can't remember. I should try to find it so I can cite my sources. But I was reading this thing that they actually did a poll to ask people, like, when you are getting ready to come, what do you say? And most people say something with God. And they were saying, it's like, even for those people who are not religious or Christian, you know, faith-based, that it's like, mm-hmm. there's an inherent knowledge that we have in that moment, that at that peak of pleasure, that we know that this is a God experience. Even if we're not regarding the act as something that's holy or, you know, whatever, mm-hmm. but that moment of orgasm, your all of your system and the thing that comes out of your mouth without even trying, a lot of times, mm-hmm. and according to the poll, most times is something with God.
How about that?
And I'm like, yeah,
don't feel bad now. If you see it at the end, just
nothing, nothing a lot of people to be doing it too. Because yeah, I truly believe that sex was created for many things, but it was also supposed to be a path to like knowledge, a path to experience God and God-like pleasure in that heightened of pleasure. Now, of course, you know, if you watch the podcast, know anything about me, you know that sex is not only valuable when you orgasm. It is an amazing thing. And if you're not orgasming and there are no medical issues and you talk to your doctor and there's nothing going on there, then I'm definitely going to invite you to do some exploration with yourself. Relax, deconstruct some things to see maybe is it because of your belief system that is preventing you from allowing the pleasure. I did a whole episode last year about that and how one sexologist says that orgasm really, that her definition of orgasm is the ability to experience pleasure. And that a lot of women don't, because we have not been given the permission to experience it. And so then therefore we don't own it. We don't take responsibility for it. And we think we're going to get in partnerships with men, you know, for us cishet men, women, because we are the ones that orgasm the least. I'm making up for it, I promise. But cishet women orgasm the least. And we, you know, we look at men like, and they have their responsibility. But we look at men and say that they are the only one responsible because they're not giving us orgasms, when in reality, we have to take ownership of our own sexuality so we can, one, know ourselves, know what we like, and then we can go to that person and say, hey, and we can be more confident as opposed to being more passive and just enabling and just allowing them to do whatever, and then probably likely creating a situation where you don't want to have sex because you don't find it pleasurable. But you're outsourcing, you're giving them all of your power by thinking that they are the ones that has to give you that pleasure.
It's a big responsibility that men carry with them going into the bedroom, knowing that like there's that idea of performance, right? You know, you can do everything. You could have had music in the background, you could have had fireworks, you could have did everything. But if she didn't come, she had that orgasm, it's like everything else kind of like goes out the window. And it's like, it's really hard as a guy to be able to like turn that off. Because we're always trying to make sure that the woman has the experience that she has, because it's also the thing that we feel like we're defined by, right? Mm-hmm. And so if she doesn't have an orgasm, or she doesn't feel pleasured during that time, what does that say about me and my ability to do so? And that tells you how much sex has been like centralized into this little bubble for us. And for women, it's actually much more externalized and free. So,
right. Well, I mean, and that's the thing. It's like, if we regarded sex as sacred, for some, sex being sacred means that you're only going to do it with your life partner. And I am not here to say that that is not right. If that is right for you and that is right for your partner, by all means, go forth and be blessed.
Yeah, of course.
I choose to not disregard that as also being sacred, but I choose to take more of an approach where every sexual encounter that I have is sacred, because I don't believe that fornication really is a sin. I know that the versions of the Bible that we read says that fornication is a sin. But before y'all come and be like, oh, she's a heretic. I know that the versions of the Bible that we read say that it is. I don't believe that the original intention of those scriptures was actually talking about sex outside of marriage for those who have never been married. I have not found in my study, going back to Greek, Hebrew, all those things, I have not found proof that that's what they were talking about. But what I have found is that throughout the Bible, culture, time, etc., that what was considered holy or not holy concerning sex actually changed a lot. Mm-hmm. And if you take away the Old Testament, it also is not consistent in the New Testament either. Now there are things that have been consistent. One of those things is adultery.
Yeah, they real big on that.
That has been remained consistent, that adultery, being married and having sex outside of your marriage in that way is a sin, and that is consistent throughout time. But demonizing sex between unmarried people, now again, and I say this, I always preface this and contextualize this by saying, I am not saying that we should just be out here fucking whoever, whenever, however we want. I'm not advocating for lawlessness either. And I think that's where sacred sexuality comes into play, because when you start to regard your experiences as sacred and you start to learn how to honor God with your body and honor yourself, then you can start to determine what and be more discerning about when you are dishonoring or honoring yourself. And again, for some, that means no sex until marriage. For some of us, that's not going to be the case. Now, you might look at me and you see that I post certain sexy things and I'm saying these things out of my mouth, and you would think I'm having a whole lot of sex. And you would be wrong. Because my sex is sacred. And so there are a lot of people that I'm attracted to sexually, but who I give my body to is sacred. And most people, and that's because they're bad or good, but just most people aren't in alignment with that.
Well, you're looking at the other level of sex, right? I think a lot of things in our lives and the things that we experience all have different layers to them. And so when you think about sex, there's that regular top layer, right? We just got together, it happened. That's it. And then you kind of go another layer of, oh, it happened and we both felt a connection, right? Then you go another layer and now that connection is defined by almost the out of body experience, but yet it's still something that connects the two people together in that moment. And it can even go deeper. So I agree with you. You know, the lawlessness, I don't agree with. It just means that there's an opportunity to connect with your partner in a way that you never experienced before that goes beyond what we've been taught, if taught at all. And I think, I forget what tradition or type of, I think it's tantra. I never say the word right. And, you know, it's something I've looked into because of the fact that it's really focused on that connection between you and your partner. And, you know, could you imagine, and maybe you can, being able to be so in tune with your partner that way, right? It almost creates a moment where now, like, I want to see my partner again, right? You want to experience that again with them. And who's to say that that may be the thing that keeps you together, right? Because we all know that as much as we work together, sleep together, do all these things together, sex is as important, right? And the connection that we have with people through sex is important. And the sacredness of it adds another layer to it that changes the whole game. Because now the other person now sees themselves as being revered in a way that they never were before, possibly. So, and this is more than just candles, okay? More than just candles. Candles and music is more.
The magic is in the intention. It's in the intention. It's in your choice to treat it as such. It's like, it's understanding, like, you know, First Sunday for most Christians is the day that they honor the sacred, you know, elements and do Holy Communion. Now, most places, they have a little plastic-ish kind of wafers that we eat and some grape juice. And you might have a cracker at other times, and you have grape juice at other times, and you might, I don't know, maybe people sitting around like, oh, I like grape juice and crackers. Now, if they're just eating grape juice and crackers at home out of a snack, is that communion? No. It's not bad. It's not evil to just enjoy crackers and grape juice. But the intention behind it, the sacred, the ritual behind it, and saying, you know what, we are going to use these elements and call them sacred and treat them as sacred. And now we're using them to do communion. And because of our intention in that moment to say, this is what we are going to do with these elements, they are sacred.
Now, I will say that not every, at least in my mind, this is not to say that every single time you have sex, it has to be like this sacred thing. For some, it may be.
What I'm going to say is this, and I'm going to let you finish, because the thing is that I think we think sacred, right, or holy and God, and we think that means that it's all slow and romantic. And it can be, but
it can be.
That's not like, you know, if it's rough and if he choking me and telling me to shut up, like, that doesn't mean it's not sacred.
That is true. That is very true. what I want to focus on is the fact that, like you said, the intention, right? So not everybody's always going to go into it with that intention.
Right.
Because you can then, I think, like anything, you can abuse it, right? And it can become something where you say you're doing it for this reason, but your heart also has to be in it, right? And that also means being honest with yourself. You know, there's sometimes when you're going to have sex and it's just that. It's just that. But does it mean that you hold your partner less than because of it? No.
But even in that, though, I think there's still an element that it could, even if it's just the pleasure of the moment, that even that can be sacred. I think that if there's anything, right, it could be, but I don't. We're not taught that. And so, okay. So
okay, yeah. Okay, I agree with that.
So I think this is a good time. I pulled a few definitions. Y'all know, y'all are listeners. Y'all know I love my definitions. I think it's important for us to understand exactly what we're talking about when we're talking about sacred sexuality. So I pulled a few things. So sacred sexuality is the practice of using sex as a path to self-knowledge and ultimately as a way to know God. Okay, hold on. I got a couple more. Someone else says that sacred sexuality is based upon the notion that sexual energy and sexual pleasure has the power to change, heal, and transform.
I agree.
And it is a practice of understanding and relating to our own energy and deepening our connections that we share with others through sacred spiritual practices. And so, and I wanted to use those three because these are three different people that are, you know, teaching and describing sacred sexuality. And I think all of them are right. And that it you can use sacred sexuality as a path to self-knowledge and a way to know God. Again, that all, like we were saying earlier, actually, did we record that part? I don't think we did. But we were talking about, like, just the peak, the orgasm. Oh, yeah, we did. Talking about, like, you know, how people say, oh God, like that moment, I honestly think it is indicative of, like, that ultimate pleasure is what God wanted for us in his original intent, to live a life of pleasure.
I agree with that. I just don't know if the sacred part always comes through. That's the part that I think that
taught,
I struggle.
Because we've been taught that sex is dirty until marriage.
But even if it isn't, I think that, okay, going back to intentions, right?
Yeah.
So you're saying that by having the intention, that helps to define it as such, right? But what happens when you don't have the intention? What is it? You know, because there's going to be people who say,
that's the thing. I think the intention is important, but I think that sex is inherently sacred. We just don't treat it as such. And so when you go into it with the intention to treat it as such, then your experience is different. Not because it ceases to be sacred or not if you don't treat it as such. Is that the way that you, it's understanding, like, you know, that our body is a temple. And a lot of times that teaching and using that scripture has meant don't drink, don't do drugs, don't get tattoos, don't have sex outside of marriage, don't, you know, it usually doesn't, they usually don't talk about obesity and gluttony, you know, that would also be you not treating your body like a temple, but here's, you know, shout out to Fit Temple, my trainer. But to me, it's like, very legalistic and say, like, oh, here, check this off, check this off, check this off, check this off. And because, and therein lies the problem, because the legalism of it is, oh, we won't talk about food. We'll choose what we want to talk about when it comes to not treating our body like a temple. Ultimately, I think treating something like it is sacred is loving it. And what is love?
Okay, I agree.
You know, we can go the Bible route and recite 1 Corinthians 13. I personally love Bell Hooks, and she shared a definition in the first chapter of her book, which, and I'm paraphrasing, is essentially, you know, giving to oneself or someone else for the intention of their spiritual growth. Let me find it so I can give you a real thing. But, you know, so it's like, again, so sex is inherently sacred. To some, that will mean it is so sacred that I don't want to share my body sexually with only one person. And that is what it means for them to love themselves enough that they are going to keep the sanctity of sex. Again, more power to you. For me, I love myself enough and treat sex as sacred by not dishonoring my body and giving my body to just anyone, which could sound like, oh, well, that means that you shouldn't have sex. I don't think that I don't think my husband, whoever he might be, if you're listening, I love you, is the only person that could be deserving of that experience. I don't think that he's the only one that would take me out of alignment. Essentially, for me, anything that is sinful from this is, again, this is my understanding, the way that I practice my spirituality, is that sin is the thing that takes me out of alignment, which essentially creates a blockage in being who I have been called to be by God. Anything in alignment is what is taking me to, is keeping me centered, keeping me grounded, to be who I've been called to be, to do what God has called me to do on this earth, and essentially to have that relationship with God. If it is not taking me, if it is not harming me, harming someone else, take me off my path, then that's not sinful.
Want to listen to the rest of this conversation? Then make sure you hit the subscribe button and the notification bell to watch next week, Wednesday, 12 noon Eastern Standard Time.
Let me know in the comments. Let us know in the comments what you like, what you didn't like. You know, we can handle it. You don't have to agree with us. You don't have to agree. Maybe you come with a whole different, and maybe, you know what? Hey, you know what? Do you want to be on an episode? Come talk about this with us. Anything we talk about, check in with yourself. Be open to what you're feeling in your body. You know, hopefully you know the difference between being triggered by something because it's just challenging you, or that's not for me. It might feel similar, but it's not. Or, you know what? Something about this resonates, and I want to learn more about this. And if that is you, and you want to learn more, you want to be in community with people that are on this journey and learning about sacred sexuality and sensuality, then I'm your girl. You can tap in the show notes is the link to the private Facebook group where we're having these conversations. You can follow me on TikTok and Instagram at I Am Lucilenia. And as always, be as radiant as the sun. Adios. Bye.
Bye-bye.